Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to take off or pick up where we left off. Sorry about that. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. The one thing I wanted to mention, because Honeyville will provide you with a really decent product, decent price, and so forth. They have a lot of different things. There are others, and as a matter of fact, we're looking to try to find a good competitive type of service and these types of products for you, because I will have to admit that whenever I reach out to Honeyville, they're not that good in customer relations and customer service and so forth, but they do ship the products and so forth. But if you ever have to talk to a human being on regarding Honeyville, I've always had these problems. So I just, word to the wise, and as a matter of fact, these are not paid endorsements for any of these companies when we provide you this information, such as the Generac generators, as we talked about yesterday. They have a dual power source. Honeyville will provide you with whole grains and a good deal on shipping, I will tell you that. Whether their prices are comparative or I guess if you're doing the bulk in contrast to maybe some other companies, either way, I hope that you can at least change your paradigm slightly to start ensuring that you have some form of, you know, plan that you can start saving both the necessities as well as savings and so forth. Because having the food, having, you know, the water and that type of stuff is important, but maintaining your shelter is equally important. Now, there may be graces provided for people regarding your mortgage, regarding rent and those types of things, but this is a warning sign, friends. They will shut down this economy again. They will shut you down and make you fully dependent. For those of you who can make it through without a problem, without a blip, my hat's off to you. But you need to, I can't emphasize enough, you should have, if not months supply, you know, plan on having a year supply of money so that you have access to money within a year that you can pay your costs, pay your rent, pay your mortgage, pay your utility bills, and all of those types of things during a long, or what do you want to call it, a long-term downtime where you may not be able to get to work or what have you. We need to learn from that old Aesop's fable. Some people call it Aesop's, but you know, the ant and the grasshopper. The grasshopper wanted to just play and have fun all summer, and the ant was working and working and saving away for the winter. And when the winter came, the ants were fine, and the grasshopper was out exposed and died because it didn't have anything. We need to look at a strategy. Everybody has to have a strategy for their self-preservation. And you should have a strategy in taking you into self-reliance. There are way too many people that, whether it's a cultural, whether it is a regional, I don't know where the paradigm comes, but why is it that there are so many people in America living hand-to-mouth? Why is it that there are so many people throughout the world that are living hand-to-mouth? Too many people think that they can scam and gain and get an advantage by using the system for themselves. And 9 times out of 10, there's way too many people that do not have a good savings plan. They do not have a good emergency plan and what have you. So that's why in our last episode, we wanted to provide you with some insights on how to give yourself a little bit better edge on being prepared for a crisis. So anyway, you may want to earmark yesterday's podcast or the 6th of April so that you can play that back and go, okay, so what was that recommendation on those battery things? What were those? Anyway, let's move forward. This show was also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you were listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence to prove that the only solution is Republic Review. This is exactly what Jefferson and Madison did in 1798. And I ask anybody to examine the facts and come away with a different opinion. Not had many people able to really do that. I know there are people that are entrenched with this idea, oh, it was all about nullification. That's all they were trying to do, was they're just trying to nullify those laws of the state. Heck no. They were trying to take back and change the direction of our government, which is why Jefferson had a very hardy campaign to unseat Adams and to take back the government. This is why they created the Republican Party. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. The Republican Party was established by Madison and Jefferson, and Jefferson liked to throw an adjective in front of that and called it the Democratic Republican Party. But if you look at the principles that they had for their platform, you'll understand it was very limited government. It was all about individual liberty and individual sovereignty, which even the Republican Party today doesn't even come close to. The Republican Party, the party of Lincoln, is big government and that's why they use Lincoln as their poster child instead of Madison, because it's all about control. And this is why I am a huge critic of the Republican Party. Not Republicans. There's a lot of great Republicans out there. And most of them want to see the party do. I believe that the majority of the people that join the Republican Party at the local level and so forth, and those people that get involved, they actually want to see the party go in the right direction. And there's no doubt in my mind that in some places, in some counties, they feel like, yeah, we're doing a good thing. And they're totally clueless. Because that's how it is in Stevens County. That's how it is in Spokane County. That's how it is in most of the counties and states that the Republican Party is entrenched with the establishment. People don't realize that, oh, well, we got our guys elected, and then they complain that these guys are nothing but rhinos. Huh. Well, you know what they say. You know, what's the definition of insanity? Continuing to do the same thing but expecting different results each time. And so you got to start waking up and you have to start making changes, which is why I put out on my Constitutional Perspective page for a few months what the party platform should really look like. We need to change what we put into a platform. You know, there's maybe what a party needs to have is a separation between a mission and a platform. Because the platform needs to be focused on compliance, and the mission should probably point towards the changes that they believe are necessary. You know, getting states to take over these things called abortion and some of these other social issues, some of these financial issues, those types of things. But the platform needs to be focused on complying to the Constitution and using the only using the constitutional process, the Article 5 process, for changing the Constitution and changes for government. That they just can't be done with democracy. Anyway, with that, I also want to reemphasize, I mentioned it yesterday, but I want to kind of plug on this. We need to ask you to help us grow this listenership. There is no doubt that as people start listening to the content and they start understanding that the Constitution is a contract and that the contract was well defined within the ratification debates, that if you want to know the limitations of the government, what can be done? Can they call martial law? Well, yeah, they can. the form of doing that is deploying and calling out the militia. You can't call martial law without the militia. This is why states can't call or declare martial law. And let me be clear. Using the words martial law is synonymous to saying that we're suspending your constitutional privileges and immunities. In other words, if a state is out there saying we're suspending your constitutional privileges and immunities, what they just said is that they just declared martial law. Do you get that? They don't have to use the words martial law, because martial law means that for a period of time, they have invoked a police state and have suspended your constitutional rights, your right of assembly, your right of expression, and so forth. Now, what was interesting is I was in a conversation yesterday, and I want to share this with you because somebody brought up the fact that we are endowed by our Creator inalienable rights. And that is very clear that within the Declaration of Independence, we acknowledge these things. However, the Constitution realized, and I believe the framers realized, that things would not be the same. And maybe it was the divine hand of providence that recognized the fact that things would probably change and migrate, that we wouldn't be a God-fearing nation, that we just ran out of a little bit of time. So I'll come back and close on this, and then we'll get into some need-to-know news with G. Edward Griffin. So please stay tuned. I'm trying to keep these things short as we go in these transitions because I keep on bleeding into the promo. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
So one more thing before we move into the need-to-know news is we do have a listen line. For those of you who are just picking this up and for those of you who have been brought to listening to this through your friends who said, hey, if you're looking for something that's different, then you need to listen to this. Now, I'm going to warn you up front. We actually read the documents. I do not want you to take my word for what Madison said. I don't like people to paraphrase. So I actually read exactly what Madison said. So we're going to be working our way into his essay on property. Why? Because if you understand the relationship that you have a right in your property and property in your rights, which are the synonymous terms that Madison used in this essay, well, your liberty, you have rights in your liberty, you have property in your liberty. And too many people are watching their liberties being taken and not calling it theft. It is outright grand larceny, because if you understand the value of your liberty, I'm not sure what is more valuable, your car, your home, or your liberty. Anyway, our listen line is 605-562-4209. Again, that's 605-562-4209. I also want to thank you for tuning in, and we beseech you to consider expanding our listening audience to all of your like-minded friends, even those people that are, you know, middle of the road, or even if you have a left-leaning friend that needs to see things with a different perspective, because sometimes that's all it takes, is to actually look at some topic, some issue from a different angle, and then next thing you know, they start recognizing the fact of, wow, we've been lied to. And I'll give you some good examples of that, because G. Edward Griffin has kind of pointed some of those things out, as well as you look at what's going on in the news and you see things that are happening and you start looking in a macro view and you go, what in the heck's going on? Anyway, so thanks for listening. We definitely appreciate your listenership. We also want to just say, if you want to support us, we do have Red State Coffee. I don't think I've mentioned Red State Coffee in a while. So if you want to actually enjoy a product that you paid for that was actually helping support this show, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Right there on the home page, we have a link to Red State Coffee. Go ahead and click on that link. It'll take you to eBay. You can get yourself a pound. And next time you listen to Red State Coffee, you can enjoy a nice cup of hot brew, or iced brew if you like to do that yourself. Anywho, let me move on. One of the things that I've wanted to speak to, and I think if you've listened to the news, and you know how the news loves to use racism as a divider. That's all they like to do. They like to divide and conquer, divide and conquer. And there's an article that speaks to this idea that basically lends the coronavirus to having a different or disparate impact on blacks in America. And I'm going, are they actually saying that the virus is racial? There's a racial component to this virus? Maybe it is a discriminatory virus? And I don't think so. I don't think that this is a racial disease whatsoever. Now, this may have more to do with lifestyles, living conditions. And I'll just give you a good example. Spain, Italy, and Germany have been hit so hard that their cases, deaths, and everything else outmatch the United States, those three countries alone. And those three countries do not come close to our population. The difference is that the people that are crammed together, they may have more people that, you know, when one person gets it in a very tight living or in a residence where you've got 10 people in a very small residence, that virus, that flu, it doesn't, even a cold will rip through that family very quickly. And so I can see how those types of cultures, those types of living conditions lend to, you know, the contagions being able to spread across the different people. Because that's really what we're talking about. It's a contagious disease and it spreads quickly through that contagion, through that airborne spreading of the virus and so forth. Anyway, obviously I'm not a doctor, so can't necessarily use the medical terminology, but I'm doing my best here. But the fact of the matter is that if you really look at the culture and where the greatest effect is occurring, 9 times out of 10, it's going to happen. You're going to have a higher impact, a higher percentage of people testing positive and contracting the disease in spaces that are close together. Another point to make here is that it'll have a bigger effect in the winter months than it does in the summer months, because, you know, these buildings, because it's freezing outside, the windows, there's no fresh air circulating. There's less chance of being able to have fresh air. You're going to have somebody else's cycled breath in a small compartment, just like on an airplane. And that's one of the reasons why airplanes are a great place to help spread a airborne virus, because it just circulates the air from, you know, the passenger in the back all the way to the passengers in the front, or vice versa. Now, as I went through a couple of episodes ago, I started talking about the scale of liberty. I started talking about, and I wanted to get into the wiring of these people, but what I want to do is I want to get into some marketing. So we're going to get back onto track with that, and we'll start off again talking about the scale of liberty. We'll get into natural law, republicanism, and those concepts that lead us towards Madison's essay on property, as well as the concepts of the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. We'll be reading those, as well as this concept of interposition versus nullification. And in addition to that, we'll get into some other important points that Madison points out regarding how to interpret the Constitution and those types of things. What we want to do is we want to cover this topic material so that you understand in context why it is important that when your contract is being violated, you have mechanisms of enforcement. The most important mechanism is if you are the shareholder, if you are, you know, the owner of and a co-owner of that document, that contract, then you have a vehicle innate within you, the ability to audit that contract, which is exactly what Jefferson and Madison did in the 1798 resolutions. And if you start reading them in that context, you'll go, oh my gosh, that's exactly what they did. So anyway, I also was mentioning in the last episode that we need to start painting a collage so that when you hear somebody speak to, you know, like Bill Gates talking about, you know, this mandatory lockdown, he started last week and saying what we're doing is inadequate. We need everybody to be locked down for 10 weeks. How many people do you know that have the resources and the ability to survive literally being locked down at gunpoint for 10 weeks? Can you do that? Do you have the ability? Do you have all the water you need? Do you have all of the nutrition, food, and so forth that you need to be able to sustain yourself and your family for 10 weeks and pay your bills on top of that? See, that's why that emergency preparedness planning is really, really important. And I'm telling you that they're ramping up the rhetoric and they're ramping up the hyperbole regarding these viruses and the importance of you obeying and doing what you're told. You know, I do have to plan on exposing or bringing out the light of the Milgram experiment. I know I spoke about it yesterday. But what I want to do is actually share the details of that experiment, because it's a very powerful experiment of how people put aside, they actually relinquish their moral obligation of doing harm because they're being told by somebody of authority to do what needs to be done, what they're telling you to do. So anyway, Bill Gates, Soros, and all of the rest of the elite, somebody should probably, and I don't have the time to do this, but somebody should probably make a collage or a really good meme that says all of these people have most of the money in the world and that's not enough for them. They want to control every aspect of your life, because bottom line, that's exactly what they're doing. Zuckerberg and all of the Bezos, all of these elitists that have made their billions off of you. And oh, by the way, I need to do a meme and I need to get this meme out because I'm telling you right now, Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, all of these large tech companies, and you go to these websites like a YouTube or even a Google search, and you click on a link that sends you to Amazon. Guess what? Google just made money on that transaction of you going to Amazon and looking at that. It may be a fraction of a penny, but how many times do you click on those types of links in the Google search? You're searching for a reason. You want to go somewhere. You want to look at something. Well, so when you're looking at something, you may click on something, five different types of lines or what have you. Google is probably making money in each of those, and there's no doubt in my mind. They're not paying taxes to your state on the revenue that they're making while you make those transactions. We'll be right back after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so I know this is a little bit old, but this was something that G. Edward Griffin pointed out that it still hasn't sunk in yet, folks. But what I want to do is I want to talk about Gestapo Gates. And that's, I think, a good... One thing I like about Trump is he comes up with really good association names or pet names for people. Anyway, Gestapo Gates, who I'm referring to Bill Gates and his foundation, his wife, his family, his paradigm, in a broadcast on March 26th, Gestapo Gates spoke from his home in a 52-minute interview by Chris Anderson, the founder of TED Talks. And this 52-minute interview, if you want to go to Need to Know News, there's this highlight video that they put together, so just a few minutes. So if you want to hear everything that he stated in that, you need to watch the whole thing, but they give you some highlights on the Need to Know News. But just a high-level view on what Mr. Gates thinks the future will hold following this COVID-19, coronavirus, China virus, whatever you want to call it. And I find it interesting how they've gone after Trump when he was referring to that. But first of all, this is what Gestapo Gates says, that the COVID-19 will fade away within a few months. Wow, a few months? We're being told that, you know, we need to get through this in the next couple of weeks because people can't sustain a few months. So he's already creating this, oh my gosh, we, you know, starting to look over our shoulders and going, really, are we doomed for the next few months to have to deal with this? Secondly, there will be fewer casualties than predicted. Well, of course, and as a matter of fact, we'll get into how this has been built up by the media and the hype by not just the media, but by the medical community. And when I say the medical community, I'm talking more on the political side than the science side. He also said that there will be credited to strong action that are actually the reason we get through this will be credited to strong actions taken by governments. In other words, he's applauding the governments in advance for their draconian measures of locking you down and taking these drastic measures in violating the Constitution, especially the United States, because the United States is directly violating the Constitution, and as well as the states are violating the Constitution by enforcing martial law without following the constitutional parameters for declaring martial law. You got to understand, and I've gone into this in my articles, but let me, I want to point this out, that we are a self-governed people. The reason we have a militia is to enforce for ourselves this very thing we call the Constitution and laws in pursuant to the Constitution. You have to understand that laws that are not in pursuant of the Constitution, in other words, if the federal government creates a law, they have no power, like health care. That's an unconstitutional law. Well, why is it that the Supreme Court rules in favor of these things? Because what else do you expect an entity to do if they have no jurisdiction over it? They self-aggrandize their position, which is what the federal court system has been doing for years. They continually expand their jurisdiction by making rulings and allowing these types of cases to come before them. As Marshall said in the ratification debates, the court system, their hands are tied. They're supposed to protect the Constitution. If there is no enumerated power regarding the issue, they have no jurisdiction. And so what the heck's happening? Why is it that we're seeing all of this going on? Well, it's pretty simple, my friends. The reason why we see all of this going on, why the federal government themselves are stepping outside, because it's about control. They know that if they can get you to come to them and say, hey, I've got this problem, they can control it, such as marriage, such as healthcare, such as energy, such as education, such as housing, such as labor, none of which are enumerated powers within the Constitution. And I can go on and on and on. Anyway, back to Gestapo Gates and what he was saying. His fourth point was pandemics serve the purpose of testing and improving responses. In other words, improving the powers and controls of government. And fifth, the correct response centers on the development of vaccines, an industry in which he is heavily invested, is going to be improved upon. Isn't it interesting that something that he's heavily invested in is going to get more money and be able to be improved? He realizes that he has his hands in the pot that is going to provide you. He's going to proffer. He is going to put it out for you to take a vaccine that will supposedly cure your problem. And they're already talking about this cocktail type of vaccine, very similar to the type of vaccine that they give children, a 6-in-1 type of vaccine. And the fact is that 6-in-1 vaccine for children have been causing more sudden death syndrome and having more irreparable effects, such as autism and other health problems, that now they want to make sure that they can provide those same kind of cocktails to the rest of the general public. I believe that we need to be able to choose for ourselves what we want and what we don't want. I think that this is a very dangerous day when government compels you to take something, whether you want to or not. You have to take this vaccine. You got to get health care. You got to pay for an insurance policy that you can't afford at the time. We need to move all of these services back to the place that they belong in the first place. And that place where they belonged is the institutions that do compassionate service the best. Now, what ends up happening is that we end up, you know, starting to scrapple and to try to posture ourselves. Well, you know, we don't want to have the Anglican Church, because that's exactly who did the education before. It was the churches. The churches did education. They did welfare assistance. The churches in the beginning of this republic, for well over a half a century, if not almost a whole century, the churches were the number one providers for healthcare, education, and those types of services. And look at how well off we are today, because the government has pushed the churches back into the corner and have now said that we will be the suppliers of all information and education. Are we better off because of that? Well, they are better off. Government is better off because they're making a better, more compliant subject to their statist laws and to their statist paradigm. Anyway, let me move on into this next couple of issues that Gates brings up. Sixth, pandemics and global warming. Notice he tied global warming. This makes all the leftists feel really good. Have the common advantage of being sufficiently frightful to motivate the public and governments to accept drastic changes to society. And seventh, he brings up, leadership for this must come from technocrats. In other words, people who understand the technology profoundly and not politicians. In other words, they want people that have been baked in the engineering community of whatever science that is, whether that be computer science, biological science, chemical science, or what have you. And they're going to be making the decisions, not your representatives. No longer are you going to have control over the direction and decisions being made. And this is what Gestapo Gates states. Gestapo Gates is an oligarch with the money and power to make things happen globally. What he sees for the future has a good chance to come to pass until we call him out. And we, as far as I'm concerned, we need to start looking at the ramifications. I truly believe that if it is illegal to shout fire in a theater because of public safety, it should be illegal for anybody to stand up and espouse that we're all going to die because of global warming. Now, what should happen is, and I believe we should go after Al Gore. That guy should be doing the perp walk, because he claimed that we would all be, you know, dying, or be, you know, in the world will be floating away because all of the ice caps and everything else will melt by a certain point in time. Well, okay, if you're going to put that out there, then as far as I'm concerned, those people need to be held accountable to the fact that it did not happen, that they were basically trying to create a level of panic or create a level of emergency where people will surrender their liberties. There must be consequences to that type of rhetoric, to that type of hyperbole. That I believe that what we need to do is say, okay, oh, so the communist, you say 12 years, if we're not in the destitutes that you claim to be because of the things that you claim that will be causing it, then you will serve time. Because when we are talking about surrendering liberty, we're talking about surrendering our most precious possessions, my friend. This is why we are going to be getting into that when we move forward in the next couple of days. What we want to do is just kind of cover some marketing, and then we'll get back into that level of content. But we will be right back. I'm not going to bleed into it this time. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so here's another point to bring up. And I know this is kind of old news, but G. Edward Griffin provides a little insight regarding what the Federal Reserve has been doing. And basically, quote, "The Federal Reserve has become deeply invested in corporate bonds, assets-backed securities, commercial paper, and exchange-traded funds, despite regulations prohibiting those measures. Theoretically, the Fed is only allowed to purchase or lend against securities that have government guarantees." Now, what does G. Edward Griffin know about the Federal Reserve? Well, if you've read Jekyll Island, he basically points out how the federal government created a scheme. Actually, J.P. Morgan and those politicians of the day created a scheme of how we would be able to transfer wealth from the United States to this supposedly private entity that would funnel it into the true backers behind all of this. Now, theoretically, the Fed is only allowed to purchase or lend against securities that have government guarantees. However, the Treasury financed by the Fed now is buying securities and backstopping loans. In short, the federal government is nationalizing large swaths of the financial markets. Do you understand what that means? It is basically moving private markets into public space. It is nationalizing, which is what socialism does. Socialism nationalizes markets. They nationalize corporations, banks, and so forth, and seize full control. So the nationalizing of large swaths of the financial markets, and the Fed is creating the money to do it. The Fed announced a $1 trillion a day in repurchase agreements or repo loans. In other words, buying out these loans that these banks have created so that instead of your debt being to a particular private institution, now the federal government is going to be owning debt, your debt. And an unlimited quantitative easing policy, because bottom line, the Treasury and the federal government, I should say, as well as the Federal Reserve, they're working together in actually consuming and pulling and nationalizing things together. We're moving towards communism as they start nationalizing markets. Now, I have told you that, you know, the verdict is out, and, you know, or I should say, I'm not, you know, you can't come up with a conclusion on Trump's presidency on how good or how bad of a president he is until he's done. But the direction that we are going, he is not a president that is preserving liberty. Because just imagine all this nationalizing may be done where he doesn't hurt us today, but the next president could. The next president could be very, very harmful in deciding who can stay. There's a good chance that they may go down racial components and use social warrior type of perspectives. In other words, social justice. J. Edward Griffin also points out that in another article that the Democratic Representative Hank Johnson has introduced just recently the Gun Violence Prevention and Community Safety Act of 2020, which has been nicknamed the Encyclopedia of Gun Control. It proposes all imaginable gun control regulations, including national gun registration, federal firearms license, ban on semi-automatic rifles, magazine bans, red flag, gun confiscation, a 30% gun tax, and a 50% ammo tax, gun storage requirements, more no-gun zones, and much more. And Senator Elizabeth Warren introduced a similar bill in the Senate. The Democrats have positioned themselves. So they've got these bills ready. Maybe they might know something, that there might be, just around the corner, another great gun travesty that they're setting up so that they can convince you or persuade you to surrender your liberties so that they can get away with stealing the rest of our lives and liberties. Because once we can no longer defend our liberties, even though they may be taking them and we may be complying, we still, as long as we have guns, we have the ability to fight back. But as they start moving and positioning us, they want, and their goal is to make a gunless society, which is unconstitutional. We're supposed to have the militia, both the organized and unorganized militia. In other words, the Constitution requires that we have an armed citizenry. It requires it. And they want to violate the Constitution. Just in these proposals themselves, they are rebelling against the Constitution, and they are disqualified. They are no longer eligible to be able to be public servants per Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We need to start understanding what we have available to protect us from these types of things. So one of the reasons why, and I'm hoping to talk to Brent Winters coming up, that we can talk more about common law and also with John Durash about getting grand jury indictments going after anybody and everybody that's trying to introduce this type of legislation that is a direct violation to the Constitution. I truly believe that the intent of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was to deal with, and I believe the men that passed that was, you know, to have a process of how we can deal with the overt actions of these types of tyrants. I am here to tell you that what we are dealing with today has more to do with the covert types of actions, not the overt. In other words, these are actions that are disguised as something else, that it does not come out as a plain rebellion to the Constitution. But I am telling you, when you start looking in the details of the Constitution, we are a self-enforced, self-armed citizenry. We are supposed to have a militia. And the fact that they're creating all of these regulations to take away the guns is a violation to the Constitution, period. It is that simple. So with that, let me just move on to the next story because I know I'm running out of time. Gordon Brown, left-wing former prime minister and labor leader, called for a one-world government to tackle the problems of the coronavirus and the economic crisis. So you're getting these old has-beens that are standing up and saying, we demand that we have a blah. We demand that we have this new world order, this global government. And you got to be kidding me. This goes into a conversation that I had that I'm not going to have the time to get into it, but I'm going to set the scenario up. As I was explaining the Constitution in a Liberty Caucus type of forum on social media, I pointed out to the individuals that if you understand the Constitution and the intent of the framers, the language in Article 4 clearly states that any state, what is a state? A state is an independent sovereign nation, just like Virginia was an independent and still is an independent sovereign nation. Italy is an independent sovereign nation. So we have all these states of the world. Any state can petition the United States to become a part of the Union. And in doing so, that doesn't mean they instantly become a state, they instantly have representation, they instantly become a part of our government. When a state petitions the United States to become a state, there is a transition process, and this takes years for them to change their financing, for them to change their laws, for them to change their language, for them to basically be able to fully fold into the United States government. So I want you to understand that the Constitution, the intent of the Constitution, and I try to explain to people, there's no doubt in my mind, the good Lord did not want liberty to be limited to the boundaries of the United States. There's no doubt in my mind that the good Lord wants all of the children of our Father, of God, God's children here on earth. I'm sure he wants all to be able to enjoy liberty, right? So why is it that we're holding back this liberty? Well, if you understand the whole intent of the League of Nations and the UN, their intent was very plain and simple. They wanted to marginalize the United States, consider it passé, and they wanted to create a government entitlement type of national world system to where everybody could easily be taken care of and moving us into global communism instead of you having to toil and work the rest of your life. What was one of those initial commandments that God gave Adam when they were driven out of the Garden of Eden? That man must live by the sweat of his brow. In other words, we're to live off of our toils and our efforts and our work. When we are living off of the toils of others, whether that be through the entitlement state of welfare, whether that be through slavery of others or what have you, then we are violating those fundamental premises and those laws that God has commanded Adam and all man. And so with that, we will get into more of that. We've definitely got some more marketing for you. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.